What up, Conquer Nation? I am back today with an episode that people have really, really been wanting to hear. Me and Bryce sit down and talk about his adventures so far with all that him and Smoke are doing with Tridat. We talk about his Redman experience in his first endurance event. And then we get into Boulder and his training that he did to get ready for Boulder to prepare for being out on the course for 16, 17 hours and kind of his experiences through the entire thing. So I think people are really going to like this one. I think you're really going to get some insight on Bryce and what kind of guy he really is and all the cool adventures that Bryce has planned going forward. He's such a cool dude. And we get into, you know, what his mission is in life and where he wants to go with all of this endurance racing and kind of his goal for all that. And the really cool thing is we talk a little bit about what CP is, how it works, kind of what causes it, which it's been a very educational process for me to learn about CP. I knew nothing about it. And getting to know Bryce and, you know, the things that he goes through on a day-to-day basis and how his life is the same and how his life is different. We talk about some inclusion topics where, you know, what he is looking for, what he wants for people that have different challenges in life. So it's really interesting. We have a really good talk. Bryce is really one of the coolest dudes you're ever going to meet. So please follow along on his Instagram. And I'll have that in the show notes where you can just follow along with Tridat and with Bryce's personal Instagram. But he really wants to change the world and the way that people are viewing people that have different challenges and how everybody has challenges. It just his happen to be his legs and other people's happens to be whatever they may be, from financial or where they come from, or you know, mental health issues, or it could be anything. So Bryce is really going to change the world. He's a cool dude, and I think everybody's really going to like this episode. So let us know what you think, and thank you so much for tuning in. Thanks for listening. Try to find Bryce and where he's going to be changing the world next, and follow along in his adventures, not only on the endurance courses, but in his speaking engagements and whatever the world brings to this awesome young man. So thanks for tuning in. Please leave us a review anywhere you listen to your podcast. Subscribe, tell your friends. If there's anything that we can do, questions that you have, please shoot me an email at ryan@conquertraining.com. You can find us on Instagram, conquer_training, and also on Facebook at Conquer Training. So give us some feedback. Let us know who you want to hear from, what you want next, any questions you have, training and racing and nutrition, hydration, any of those kinds of questions, let us know so we can add those into our next Ask the Coaches episode. But thanks so much for listening, and I hope you enjoy this one. All right, Bryce, this is the long-awaited interview.
Yes, it is.
We've had...
People have been asking for this for over a year.
At least three or four.
Right.
Uh-huh. Probably max. Maybe right. Five. Not counting your mom.
Right. Mm-hmm. So...
Yeah, so we're sitting here, petting Samson.
Who yes.
Is your...
service dog, correct. We've been together... Oh, goodness. You're going to make me think now. At least 9 years?
Oh, Samson's like your much better half.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, he's laying on the floor here. Samson's a lab that helps Bryce with whatever you need, really.
He knows about 90 commands. He can do anything from put a laundry in a front loader to open up my refrigerator and get me a soft drink. It blows Ellis's mind every time.
I need to see that before we leave.
Yes.
So we're hanging out at Bryce's house recording this, and I'm going to have to see some of Samson's tricks before we get out of here, because all I ever see him as is just chilling and being there in case he needs something. And
right.
Now that I'm here at the house, he's a totally different guy.
Oh, absolutely.
He's a nut job now.
Oh.
Like a typical dog.
Right, right.
Yeah, he's awesome. So, Bryce, I think a lot of people already know your story from other podcasts that I've done with Smoke and talking about your adventures over the year.
Right.
And I kind of want to just get into your story a little bit and kind of talk about, I mean, I think people kind of know how you and Smoke got together.
Right.
But I want to talk about your experience through these races.
Well, for people that don't know, just in case you don't know about me, I'm Bryce Wooten. I'm an advocacy worker, and I'm also a motivational speaker. I just got certified last week in motivational strategy. So a little bit of background on myself. You know, I'm 22 years old. I graduated from Santa Fe High School in 2015. And I originally went to college at UCO to get a degree in finance. And then after 2 years of that, I realized that that wasn't really my calling in life. And then shortly after that, I met Ryan Smoke. He had an idea of doing an Ironman race with me. So we started out doing the Oklahoma City Memorial Marathon. And my first idea was, you know I'm in a wheelchair, right? This is completely ridiculous.
Yeah.
And he was like, I'll make you a deal. I'll come get you on Friday and we'll go to breakfast. I was like, okay, he's going to pay for my breakfast. You know, if I would have been 21, I would have been like, you would have paid for my alcohol. So, yeah. So I wasn't 21 yet. So he couldn't swerve me off with alcohol yet. So
no.
We met at breakfast. And let me tell you, there's been very few moments where I've instantly clicked with somebody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And those were one of those moments, kind of like when we first, because I knew about you through like stories and
with Smoke, yeah.
Collages and stuff with, you know, Smoke and Brennan. And
yeah.
So I knew of you and you knew of me, but we never like formally met each other.
Right.
Till, I want to say, was that SMU?
No, it was before that. It was whenever you did the half marathon last year.
Okay, then that's right,
yeah,
then.
So about a year and a half ago.
So.
Roughly.
But we had, you know, heard stories of each other and
right.
You knew, you know, what I was about. And.
Well, let's talk, before we get into your crazy race experiences that you've
right.
had with Smoke. Just, so I didn't know anything about CP.
Right.
Before I met you. And it's been a great learning experience for me. And. So, just to kind of give people a background on CP, like,
yes.
What is it?
Okay, so basically, in a small nutshell, it's a neurological disease that affects my motor skills. I had a grade 1 bleed in my brain, which is the lowest level of brain bleed. Usually, when you have a level 1 brain bleed, it does nothing. But what was so special in
this all happens at birth.
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
Correct. My mom's OBGYN realized that my arm was over my head when I was being delivered. So what the doctor had said, either we go in and break his arm or we just naturally just see what happens. So obviously it landed right in the sweet spot, he called it, which is right in my motor skills, which affected my leg. Everything else is perfectly
yeah.
normal.
Yeah. Yeah, so, and I mean, it's just something that kids are born with.
Right, absolutely.
And then just, and the severity of it can be between levels 1
absolutely.
And 4.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so yours is just motor skills and
yeah.
your legs and walking and
yeah.
stuff like that.
Spastic cerebral palsy is what they call it.
Just. Okay. And so, day-to-day life, you just need help with certain basic things.
Yes.
But for the most part.
Like, I would call myself like 90% independent. Like, I can give myself showers as long as.
Yeah.
As long as somebody is in there,
right.
So I, just in case I don't fall, you
right.
know, because
right.
I have metal rods in my back, so it's hard for me to sometimes catch myself when I,
right.
you know,
yeah.
am doing that, you know, so just very basic, you know,
right.
things.
And so that's kind of the quick nutshell of how we ended up here.
Right.
Right. And I think other people kind of know how you and Smoke got connected and all that kind of stuff. So we won't get into that. If they want to hear that, they can chime into
right.
One of the old podcasts with Smoke. But I think what I want to dig into, because we've talked about it a little bit, but not a ton,
right.
is you and Smoke did a half Ironman together.
We sure did.
Almost a year ago.
Can you believe that?
And let's talk about kind of how that experience was, because you had never been around endurance sports or any of that crazy stuff. And being around triathlon for the first time, like that race day, what was that like for you? Like in the swim with all those people around you and in the kayak and then getting on the bike and being out there on the course with just the two of you for a handful of hours and then having this race, which took just under 8 hours
right.
to do
right.
for the two of you.
So to answer your question, I've done a few, you know, endurance sports when I was a kid. I did like wheelchair races and wheelchair basketball and stuff like that, but nothing to the degree of competing with people that don't have the disadvantages that I have had before. Mm-hmm. Right. So just to see those thousands of people racing at the same time and being in water and being a maniac, uh-huh. you know, to try to finish as quickly as possible, I was like, what the hell did I get myself into?
What was that? Because you guys had gotten in the water a couple of times before before the race.
Three times.
Last year. Okay. So what was that? Was that your scariest part?
I told Smoke, I was like, as soon as this water part's over, I'm fine.
Yeah.
You know, as soon, I do not want, you know, me to get tipped over. And I was like, because then we're screwed. Because then, so.
Getting you back in the boat would be tough. Right. And scary for you.
Right.
And all that stuff. So at Redman, we had a dedicated kayaker with you.
Yes.
So
Alyssa, I love her very much. Yes. Uh-huh. So.
And yeah, and she still quotes you, your famous quote.
Yes.
So what is your quote before you start a race, Bryce?
Well, I came here to chew bubble gum and kick ass, but I was out of bubble gum before I got there. So uh-huh. I was there to kick very much ass. So.
Yeah. So I think that says it all. So that day itself, so the swim went off, no problems. You guys got on the bike, and me and Brandon were able to ride with you guys at that race, which was good. So we rode behind you guys in support, so we were able to talk to you and give you whatever you needed and stuff like that. So that made it much better.
Like I told you, you know, leading up to Redman, I'm not doing these types of races for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing it for the next generation of individuals, whether you have a disability or not, to show that if you put your mind to something and really want to achieve something, you can do it. I'm doing this because this shit needs to be done to show people that you can and will do something if you put your mind to it.
Right. Yeah. And so that day was a crazy day because you didn't know really what to expect.
Right.
We had no idea what to expect. We didn't know how it was all going to unfold, even though we had trained for it and planned for it. It was, so we get out on the bike course, just a long day. No, nothing happened. No major problems. You get to the run, now it's just you and Smoke on the run, but it wasn't, the weather was great.
I don't know.
At Redman, and then it was a short course, so you get to see people a lot and see your family and friends and stuff, so that was good. But whenever you got done with that day, how did you feel? For people that don't know what Redman is, that we're talking about, it's a half Ironman, which is a 1.2 mile swim, 56 mile bike, and a 13.1 mile run. Long day.
For people that, for you guys that were behind the scenes after that, people don't realize that I was actually battling a cold going into Redman. So when I got done, I did not get to celebrate Redman. I was sick with a sinus infection, you know.
And you hurt.
Yes, I was very much hurt, and I went to bed. I ate a waffle, and I went to bed for 12, 13 hours. I did not move for the first. And then Ryan called me the next day, and he said, "What have you been doing? Did you celebrate?" I was like, "Dude, I've been in bed."
Yeah. And it was hot. You were sunburned. Yes. Yeah. But what did you, when you crossed that finish line, what did it feel like?
There's not enough adequate words.
Okay. Did it feel different or better or the same as the half marathon that you guys did earlier that year?
I'll tell you this, Ryan, crossing the finish line the first time was proving to people that were told no, that they did something. This was for them. This was not for me.
But what did it feel like for you? Like, how cool was it? Because you probably never thought that would happen. 2 years ago, you would have never dreamed. 3 years ago, you would have never thought about crossing the finish line at a half Ironman.
You know, Ryan, for those of you that don't know, my father passed away when I was 18. He told me when I was growing up, when you find something that you're truly meant to do, you'll know with your whole heart, and you won't even have to question that.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that with two things, my motivational speaking and endurance racing. This is where I am made to make my mark.
Okay. So now that you're crossing some finish lines, it's got to be sweeter every time.
I would say that the crossing the finish line at Boulder was a little bit better.
Yeah.
But you'll never, like they always say in sports, you'll never forget your first one. So.
Right. Wait, sports or girls?
That one too.
Okay. We'll skip over that.
Yeah. Sorry, Mom.
Yeah, sorry, Mom. She's heard worse. I've heard you say worse.
Right.
So let's. Okay. Well, then you brought up Boulder. Let's fast forward to that. So between Redman and Boulder was about, I don't know, 10 months or no.
Yes.
Yeah. About something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah. About
eight,
that.
Eight, 10 months. Something
give
like
or
that.
Take. Yeah.
So. After experiencing what a half Ironman did to your body, what did you do for training?
Boy.
What did you do for training between Redman and Boulder? Because I know you had a trainer,
yes.
And I know you did some things.
Yes. I actually hired, and I'm still working with my personal trainer,
mm-hmm.
Shepard, mm-hmm. who to get ready for the Boulder. I started, ladies and gentlemen, at 17.9% body fat. And going into Boulder, I was 6%.
Mm.
And remember, I don't have the mobility as, you know, the average bear does. So remember, guys, you have to be able to want something. You got to do it 100%. You can't do it 99.9% or it won't work. You got to be 100% devoted.
And the reason that that was so important for you to get in tip-top shape, not on the scale, was because smoke's going to be
pushing me and
dragging you around,
yes,
for
absolutely.
140 miles. So
yes.
You dropping, what was it, probably 10 pounds, 15 pounds?
15, 20 at the most,
yeah. So dropping that weight was a huge help to the team.
Yes.
And so that's why that was so important.
Yes.
And then as far as strength training, your glutes and your core and all that,
yes,
kind of stuff was good for you.
Yes.
Because of just sitting in those
yeah.
environment
the
all day.
The grueling condition of literally sitting in that cart for 15 hours. And ladies and gentlemen, you're not realizing that you're going to the bathroom on yourself.
Yeah.
Well,
we got to cover that. Uh-huh.
Every athlete that does these endurance triathlons, and that's why Ryan.
I wasn't going to rat you out on this, but now that you're bringing it up.
That's why Ryan's sitting here laughing. They go to the bathroom because you cannot stop once that gun goes off and you have 17 hours to complete that or you're done.
Yep.
I mean, the really professional triathletes have time to go to the porta potty, but we're not professionals here. We're just
Hey, speak for yourself.
Yeah, and Andrea will agree with me right there.
So let's get into the race itself. And the whole going to the bathroom on yourself was a great conversation that we've had so many times, because Bryce did not want to do that.
No.
And that was a new experience for him to know that is going to be happening. But sometimes you just got to do what you got to do.
But we had
for the team.
We had talked about that, you know.
Yeah, we had a plan.
We actually, you know, spent a week together in Boulder in April, and oh my God, was that the most catastrophic fun.
Yeah, that was Bryce's first guys trip, and the team went up there. Team Triad went to Boulder to check the course out, and had some great censored memories and experiences that we probably shouldn't have shared for probably legal reasons, maybe.
Yes.
And or your mom's sanity.
Yes. If this gets enough likes and views, we may bring a April Boulder explicit, you know,
there you
story.
Go. A bonus footage.
Yeah. Story time. Yeah. So if smack the view button if you want to see
there
that.
There you go. We could do that maybe. So let's get into Boulder. You've been training. You lost some weight. You cleaned up your diet.
Yes.
You did a lot of strength training for your core and your glutes and all that kind of stuff. And Smoke didn't do a ton of training with you in the cart
going in.
So you had 1 7-hour bike ride together.
Yes. Which you guys were there actually for that one.
Yeah, we were there for that. But the thing is, I think people don't understand is you're not just sitting there.
No.
So if they think, Bryce is just sitting there and it's super easy for him.
No.
They should go bounce around on the open roads for 17 hours and see how they feel.
Let me break this down.
Yeah.
You're getting every bit of wind in your face because everybody knows Oklahoma wind is nasty. And
well, you're in Colorado. Let's talk about the race.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so let's start with the beginning. Let's keep it in order with the race. That morning was chilly.
Yes.
Really, like 40-something degrees.
To the point where I had to go the week before we went to Boulder and get one of those fashion tinfoil Nylar blankets.
We did. Uh-huh. We wrapped you up like a little Chipotle burrito.
Yes. This is not sponsored by Moe's, by the way.
Oh, maybe that'll be the pick for this, is you wrapped up as a Chipotle burrito.
Right.
In the kayak. That we can make that footage available to the
yes.
to everyone.
Yes.
So we get you wrapped up for the swim because it's cold on you that
yes,
morning.
Yes, absolutely.
Really cold. Smoke goes out and absolutely kills the swim.
Yes, which I was like, okay, we're in good shape. This
but
is...
how was it for you out there? Because that was a long time to be in the kayak by yourself.
When people started this kind of splash me and get water on me, I was like, oh my God, this shit is, this is not, I'm going to kill some people.
Right.
I was like, I am.
But you guys had a great swim.
Yes, we did.
But it had been so nice and peaceful out there at first.
Yes.
Because
for the first hour, uh-huh. I was like, this is wonderful. I could get used to this. You know, I'm, you know, in a nice comfortable kayak. I got a pillow. I could just, you know, relax, you know, have some me time. This is great.
Uh-huh. While Smoke's up there dying. You were having a great time. And then reality hit.
Oh, God.
Let's talk about coming out of the water. We're pushing you up the ramp. Yeah, me and Brandon are going like two crazies trying to get you on the bike. But you had the crowd cheering. Like, it was a big crowd. That had to have been super cool.
I mean, you know, when you've got 2,500 girls just, you know, yelling.
I don't know. I've never had that experience.
I'm sorry. Maybe you can be me for a day.
Oh, okay.
but to have the crowd and the music and, you know, just to have people cheering your name and have the announcer, you know, announce my name, you know, it was like I was somebody that day.
That was cool. That was super cool. So we get you on the bike, and then reality starts.
Oh, hell broke loose.
So you guys go out on the bike. And it was a long, it took about 8 hours and 15 minutes roughly.
Do I got to relive this?
For the bike. We'll go cliff notes. So whenever we saw you a couple times out on the bike course, and then we saw you at the halfway point.
Yes.
And we refueled everything. you were feeling okay, but you weren't drinking enough water.
No, by probably mile 40 or 50 on the bike, oh God, the cramps started coming in, and I had the bubble guts, like I was burping, like I felt like just so like disgusted about myself. I was like, you know, this is not attractive. This is,
uh-huh.
I mean, Smoke is just like shoving chips on. I mean, we're to the point where we're like shoving food in each other's mouths.
No,
like
not yet. Not on the bike. On the bike, you were shoving all that in your own face.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
You had your bag on you that had all your crackers.
The crackers. And by mile 40, I had eaten half of my crackers and started to drink water. And I was like, oh, hell. I haven't even got halfway through the bike and I've already ate half my food. Like, what the hell am I going to do?
Yeah. And then you had not been drinking enough fluid.
Yes.
So I got on to you at the halfway point. Because you were getting ready to start having issues if you didn't drink enough fluid.
Yes.
But the weather was good, which is great. So I was like in the 60s. But then let's fast forward to when we got you off the bike.
Oh my God. We were about to fight because you poured that cold water on me without knowing that I'm spastic when water gets pulled on me. And oh my God.
You were in not good shape.
No, I was. Ooh, you got to hear some colorful language.
Yeah, you were hot. I wasn't gonna mention it, but you'd peed on yourself
for
a while.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The chair.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we had all
absolutely.
That stuff, but you had major cramping.
Yes.
In your legs, and just being in that sorry little chair for 8 hours.
Yes.
Your body was just a wreck.
Oh yeah, I was emotionally done, but the competitor inside me, you know, wanted to keep going.
So let's talk about that for a sec. So the emotional, was it just because you were by yourself back there for
no,
so long?
No, I feel like we had talked about Boulder for 9 months, and that's all we thought about for 9 months.
Uh-huh.
And when it came to the day of the race, we were actually the most relaxed we had been in 9 months.
I agree with that.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, I agree with that. So, were you just kind of over it, or
was
it just because you were hurt?
I was ready for us to cross the finish line.
At that point?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you still had a whole marathon to go.
Yeah, I had about 6 hours to go.
At least.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, when you came off the bike, did you think that you were going to be able to finish?
I started to kind of second guess it, and I was like, really? I mean, you know, we put all these 9 months of training in, and is this really going to be worth it? I mean,
right, because you were hurting so bad?
Right.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we were just so, emotionally spent.
Right. And Smoke was in bad shape.
Right.
And
I think it was
shape.
More. I think it was more emotionally spent more than physically. It's just the two of them both kind of just like overlapped each other.
And yeah.
It was to the point where we were like, oh my God, do we really want to do this? Because we climbed that mountain for so many miles that it was just physically draining.
Yeah, that was rough. And I will say, like, whenever you told me, you're like, I got to get out of this cart. Like, I've got to just get out of this cart just for a second. And when I picked you up out of that cart and I hugged you.
Yes.
And I could feel your body just, like, shaking like crazy because you were so tense and so tight. Like, that was...
Because people don't realize when I'm in my chair for so many hours and my spasticity starts to really, like, start... It's like I have fleas. Like, my legs do not stop shaking. Like, mm-hmm. It's just something I can't help.
Right.
So when Ryan literally got me out of that cart, I mean, it was literally to the point where I need food or I need sugar to balance that out, or I'm going to be a complete bitch.
Yeah. More than normal.
Right.
A bigger bitch than normal. Right.
Uh-huh. Right.
So, yeah, because I remember just sitting there holding you, and I could just feel you shaking so bad, and that was, like, just heartbreaking. No, I had to put you back in this chair for another 6 hours.
Right.
And you were in physically such bad shape, like, just with the cramps and just not feeling good. And
so you were like, I'm going to get you a Coke and pizza and Pop-Tarts and Oreos, and I was like, I don't care what you
eat. We did. We got you to the transition tent, and we found pizza in there that we gave to you. We gave you some Coke, Gatorade.
Oh, and that flat Coke was gross.
And then we got, what else did we find? Oh, then we made that little packet for you guys with chips and Oreos and all the goodies to get you on the run. So then we head out on the run.
And Smoke was mad that he didn't give me pizza in his bag.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
What
a baby. It's not all about him.
Right.
So then you get out on the run. And you're a long ways from town.
Yes.
So with the way the Boulder Ironman race works is you're out at the reservoir, but you run into town and do some
loops
there and finish there.
Correct.
How was it those first couple miles on the run? Because now you two are together. You can talk. You're starting to see people and talk to people, but you know you got a long ways to go.
The first like 4 or 5 miles, we kind of just pace walked it. I mean, we kind of really like pace walked the whole thing. We were actually in really good shape.
Yeah, time wise. Yeah. To finish. Yeah, it wasn't gonna be a problem.
But we knew that even when we got on the run, that we were so emotionally invested in it that we had no choice but to keep going.
How was it? So emotionally for you guys, was it cool to get to talk to other people?
Yeah.
Or hear stories from other people?
Absolutely. We got to hear snippets from people, you know, telling us that we were, you know, amazing and what we were doing, you know, that we were bringing inclusion to the sport of endurance racing, and that.
How was that for you? Is that kind of what you expected it to be like, or was that kind of a surprise? Or
I'm a very humble person, so I don't. When people are
humble, or because that's not the Bryce I know.
But when people are really like saying, oh, you're such an inspiration. I mean, I appreciate the compliment, but I get overwhelmed by people saying, oh, wow, I look up to you. Like, that, I appreciate it, but I'm like, I don't know
how to take it.
Right.
Yeah, I get that. I'm not one for compliments.
Right. I mean, I appreciate the sentiment, but I'm like, dude, I'm just a normal guy trying to live his life the best that he can.
Right. Just out here doing this race like you.
Right. So,
and then you guys get into the race, get back into town. Now we start seeing you guys. You start seeing Mom again and your brother and familiar faces.
Right.
Let's kind of go forward to whenever it started getting cold and dark and sucky.
Which time?
So you guys were heading out for the turnaround, which was about mile 15-ish. And that's the last time we saw you before the finish line.
Yes.
And you guys got real lonely. Real dark, real cold.
About 8 miles in, Mother Nature started to take over, and it got really dark and pitch black, and to the point where...
And cold.
Yes.
We wrapped you up like a little green burrito this time.
Yes. To the point where guys with their light helmets would help us, you know, find the next loop. And the last 4 or 5 miles, I was like, I'm done.
Yeah.
This shit, I'm over.
Was it mentally or physically you were
both,
done?
Both.
So because, what was happened to you?
Because
both those?
I was, you know, cramping. I was hungry. Yeah. I was irritable. I had been up since 3 o'clock in the morning. I was like, I want to go to bed. I'm done with this shit. This is over.
The fun was not there.
No.
And plus, the course is empty.
Right. I mean, the people that are, because Ironman triathlons and stuff like that, it's all about survival.
Right.
100%. Who can survive the 140.6 miles?
Right.
Are you man and woman enough to survive?
Right. I agree. And then you got to experience that. So everybody's kind of out there in a death march.
Right.
At that point. Everybody's just trying to finish. How did you... Okay, so then you know you're going to finish. You hear the finish line in the distance.
I actually
hear... You can see the lights in the distance.
I actually hear the announcer, Mike Riley, for the last 2 miles, and I was like, it's actually...
It's going to happen. It's going to... I get goosebumps. Look. Look, I physically have goosebumps thinking about that finish line shoot again. So you and Smokey Bear line up. It's like about, like a full city block long, and... You're coming down, you got the spotlights, you got the music going, you got all the fun stuff. You get close to that finish line, Smokey Bear almost tips you over and ejects you out of your chair.
But I beat him on time.
You did.
So technically, I was better than him that day.
You did.
That is a beautiful, you know.
You both had timing chips on, and Bryce officially beat Smoke by 1 second. Which he can't ever go back. You beat him in the last Ironman. You guys
yes,
did
I can. So. Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, he's going to have to step up his game.
Yeah.
You know next time he's going to drag you across that line backwards.
Right. Or just let him go, and then he'll be like, oh, I forgot about my handicap friend.
I forgot about this guy.
Yeah.
So what was it like coming across that line, coming down that finisher chute? Because it was under the lights at night, and the music, and the crowd, and all the funness.
To have my mom and you guys there, my family, mm-hmm. because I now consider you guys, now that you guys have... been in my life for a year and have mm-hmm. made sacrifices for me, and I've made sacrifices for you. Mm-hmm. We are now intertwined as family. I agree. That's 100% God-given
totally
fact.
Yep.
And to see Andrea get choked up, and you get choked up, and I get choked up by seeing you guys get choked up, it made it all worth it.
Yeah, I mean, we had a great support crew there from everybody that had traveled to Boulder. That was probably, what, like 10 or 12 people that traveled?
The only person that I wish was physically there, but I know that he was there in spirit, was my dad.
Right.
I know that he was smiling down on that one.
Yep, and you said he helped get you through those final few miles.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, and then you cross the finish line. Your mom and your brother are there on the backside of the finish line to give you your medal and hug and all the good stuff. How was that?
It just made it all worth it.
Right.
That all my mom's sacrifices... through my 22 years of being alive and all the things that she sacrificed my whole life to make sure that I had every opportunity.
Yeah, your mom kicks butt.
To do amazing things.
Yeah.
The real person that does amazing things, folks, is my mom.
Agree with that. Totally agree with that. She's a cool lady.
The things that she went through, you know, with my childhood and the struggles that she went through with my dad mm-hmm. and, you know, struggles that she went through with me not knowing about cerebral palsy until she did her own research.
Right.
You know, I don't do amazing. I do amazing things because my mom taught me how to do amazing things.
Right. Yeah. Because you got a really awesome support team.
And, you know, I do amazing things also because my grandma taught me how to do amazing things. My grandma taught me not to give up when times were tough.
Right.
That's what really makes a man a man, is showing up when the things get tough.
Yeah. And I agree. So you cross that finish line. Now you feel like, man, we checked a major bucket list.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I proved once again that, you know, I defied the odds. I've been defying the odds my whole life.
I agree. Yeah.
I've been told that, you know what, Bryce, you're in a wheelchair. You won't be able to accomplish this. That's not true. I'm in college right now. I'm getting my degrees. I'm doing endurance sports. I'm a motivational speaker. I'm checking every box that I was told I wouldn't be able to do. And I'm saying, guess what? I'm doing it right now.
Yeah. And why are you doing it?
Because it needs to be done. I want to make sure that the next generation of people don't have to fight as hard as I did growing up.
Mm-hmm.
I want things to be able to be accommodable for the next generation. I'm perfectly fine with my life. Like I've told you a million and a half times.
Right.
I want the next generation to be able to understand that there was people that paved the road to make their life easier.
So are you talking about just social acceptance? Are you talking about more handicap accessible situations?
I'm talking about it all.
Okay.
Because it's not just a one one piece pick and choose thing. Right. You either accept one thing or you accept it all. That's how I look at it.
Right. Well, here's something that, and we've kind of talked about this, and it was something that kind of brought to my attention when the race was over, because they kept calling Smoke your handler.
Yes.
And it's like a challenge athletes division.
Yes.
Stuff like that. What do you like? What terms do you like?
You know, I have been thinking about, you know, emailing Iron Man and kind of getting it changed, but I haven't been able to think about an acceptable world that I think that the individuals that race, like kind of like myself, would be able to be comfortable with.
Mm-hmm. Adaptive athlete.
Yeah, adaptive athlete. So that's why I would love to kind of sit down with like Johnny and Kyle and mm-hmm. all of them to kind of brainstorm on a word, because I don't want to do it all myself.
Right.
Because I want to have their input too. I don't right. want to just...
But it's little things like that that you want to change right. that make a big
because
difference.
I want everybody to understand that we are athletes too. We are making the sacrifices too. Mm-hmm. We are not just an object. We are a human being. We may have differences, but we are just as much a human being as everybody else, and we deserve the same opportunities as everybody else.
And same treatment, same words, same everything.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. And before we get into kind of wrapping this up, one thing I want people to know about, you talked about now you're doing endurance sports, you're finishing up school, you're getting ready to get your associates this year, and
yes.
you're going to finish with your bachelor's.
Yes.
You want to get your career going in motivational speaking and
yes.
kind of just help people strive to do things that they want to do.
I've got a year left on my bachelor's, so as soon as that gets done, then I will hit motivational speaking as hard as I can.
Yeah. And the one thing that I think that blew me away, and as we sit in your man cave here, and we just talked about how you like to steal the souls of 12-year-olds and embarrass them and talk a lot of smack to them. Let's talk about your Madden skills.
Okay. So I've been a video gamer ever since I can remember. I probably started on my first system when I was 3 years old, the original PlayStation that probably came out when Ryan was, 17 or 18 years old.
Don't be a dick.
Hey, mm-hmm. You set yourself up for that one. You set yourself up for that one. But yeah, I started on the Madden franchise because my dad was a big football fan, and he realized about at the time I was 14 or 15 years old, he was like, man, this guy is good for, you know, not having the ability to, I can use both hands, but it's harder for me to use both hands, so I predominantly use one. I can use both, but I mainly use one, and I make it work. I've been in the top 100 in the world, ladies and gentlemen, for the past 4 years.
Playing Madden. And you get that with points. As the more people you play, the more people
yes.
you beat, all those kinds
yes.
of things, you get points. So you're the top 100 in the world.
Correct.
Playing with one hand.
Correct. Predominantly one hand. Correct.
Huh. Interesting. I never saw that coming. Because I used to play, but I liked college football.
Yes.
So I never got into Madden.
See, I got into college football until they canceled the franchise.
They did the NCAA.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I used to play.
Yes.
They don't do that anymore.
No.
Now it's just Madden.
Because people got butthurt that, you know, college athletes weren't getting paid, so they canceled. They canceled the franchise.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So now it's just Madden.
Correct.
So you like? Do you cuss at these 12-year-old boys that you're playing?
Do you know me?
Do you call them names?
Do you know me?
Do they call you names back?
Yeah.
Are they worse than... Do they have more worse foul mouths than you?
Yeah. For me at 12 years old, uh-huh. yeah. Yeah.
But whenever they... Do they say something, you're like, oof, that was
yeah.
a good one.
Well, then when I tell them, well, you just got beat with a guy that predominantly uses one hand, they kind of shut the hell up.
They kind of hang up and
they're
move
like,
on.
They're like, oh, shit, that really just got real.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you can't really come back when you hear that you got beat with one hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's rough. So, Bryce, you got some big future plans ahead of you and some really cool things coming. Let's...
I would like to give a small shout-out
yeah.
to my soon-to-be advocacy partner, advocacy partner, who just won Miss Breakdown, Maggie Bond.
Oh.
Who, the former Miss Tulsa.
Uh-huh.
We're going to be tag-teaming, hopefully, here in the coming weeks on disability awareness and advocacy work. So I just wanted to give a small shout out to Maggie. She's a great friend of mine, great girl. So if you guys want to follow her on Instagram, it's 007 Bond Girl.
Okay. Well, where can people follow you?
At TriDat365 on Instagram or
that's what you guys are doing as a team.
Yes. Or you can follow my individual motivational speaking Instagram at Bryce_Wooten97.
Okay, and I'll put those in the show notes so people can click through and get those.
Yes.
What is one thing that you want to leave people with? Is it just inclusion?
I just want to be remembered for someone that did something in this world to make the world a better place.
And what's something that people can do for people that they see that are challenged and are maybe in a wheelchair, maybe not in a wheelchair, but what's something that people can do?
I'll tell you this.
To make your world better.
I'll tell you this, Ryan, just like you and Brandon and Ryan did a year and a half ago. Just give me a chance to prove that I'm...
just a typical dude, man.
Yeah.
Just a typical dude.
Just give me a chance. Mm-hmm. That's literally all I can say. Just give me a chance.
Cool. And I think that's...
I'll blow your mind.
I think that's a perfect place to wrap up. Thanks for doing this, homie. I'm glad we finally got to sit down and make it happen.
I love you, man.
Love you, homie. See ya.